For the past 9 weeks, we've been looking at the Ten Commandments. Even though these commandments were given hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it's absolutely amazing how they apply to our daily lives. In fact, 9 of the 10 were repeated over in the New Testament as well. But when you come to the 9th commandment for this morning, I've entitled this, The Sin of Lying, from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16 from the English Standard Version, which is the one there in the back of the pew. It says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Many of you probably remember that from the years 1966 through 1981, there was a game show on television called The Hollywood Squares. It was one of the longest running game shows that has been on television. Later, it was revived in the year 1998, and then there was a final episode of it in the year 2004. And what that show was all about, celebrities answered questions, and the contestants decided who was really telling the truth. It was really a game about lying. Or maybe you remember the show To Tell the Truth that was on some years ago, and it's lately been revived and put back on television, but it's once again where three people come out, and one of them, each one of them, share that they are whoever they are purporting to be at the moment, and then those on the show ask questions to them and try to determine who is truthfully the one that is telling the truth. Well, is it any wonder in America today that those kinds of shows have become very popular? According to those who do research, an average person lies at least one time per day. Now, those may not necessarily be blatant lies, but here, for instance, when somebody asks you the question, if somebody comes up to you today, or if someone comes up to you this week, or if someone has come up to you in these past days and said, how are you doing today? And you respond, oh, I'm great. Everything's coming up roses, when you know it's not. Have you lied? Did you tell a lie? Take heart this morning, prolific liars. There are liars out there that are prolific liars, and according to research, 19.1, they lie for every one big lie that is told by the average person. Now, biblical commentaries claim that this 9th commandment this morning, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Biblical commentaries claim that this 9th commandment is the commandment that is broken most often. I'd ask you a question this morning, do you agree? Which of these commandments do you think is the most often broken? Well, Bible commentators claim that the 9th one is. In the book of Psalm, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, in the ESV translation, it says, save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart, they speak. Now, what does the Bible, what does our text for this morning say when it speaks of false testimony? You know, why is it wrong? What can you and I do about that this morning? Number one, on your bulletin, you'll find this. Question number one is this: what is a lie anyway? Now, you are, according to commentaries, we all know that we're living today in a postmodern culture where truth is considered to be subjective. Truth is considered just to be personal. Young people, I know you're living in a day and a time with all kinds of news media, with all kinds of social media, with all accesses to the internet and to read all kinds of publications and articles that are out there, but we are living in a post-Christian culture in the fact that people are saying today, there is no absolute truth. There is no truth whatsoever other than the fact that whatever is subjective to you at the moment, whatever is relative to you at the moment, whatever is personal to you at the moment is really all that matters about truth. You see, they say, what's right for you is right, and what's wrong for you is wrong, and you just have to figure that out for yourself and determine that. They say no absolutes, which in and of itself is an absolute statement. So let's be clear this morning, what is a lie? Well, let me give you some things that are. False words are lies. False words, we lie when we tell half-truths. We lie when we exaggerate. We lie when we misquote something or someone. We lie when we slander other people. We lie when we gossip about things that we hear about other people. So false words are lies. Secondly, false appearances are lies. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 62 and verse 4 in the ESV, they take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we gossip, but we use it as a spiritual guise? For example, we share prayer requests, but oftentimes I'm afraid that sometimes those are used in spiritual guise. For example, we say, well, let's be sure and remember so-and-so, they're having marital problems, and then we go ahead and just fill in the blanks and tell all the details. And or I'm really concerned about so-and-so's kids, they're dabbling in this, or they're dabbling in that. You see, oftentimes we just love to fill in the blanks and we love to share information that we hear about people. And so false appearances become lies. We sometimes act like we really do care. If you really act like you care, but you really don't care, isn't that a lie? You see, anytime we create a false appearance, it's lying. Maybe you remember the movie MASH, the TV series where Hawkeye, the doctor, he strikes out with a new nurse assigned to a new unit. And the next guy through the door asks that nurse out, and she accepts. And Hawkeye, the doctor, asks his buddy, what does he have that I don't have? And the answer is sincerity. Sincerity, he says. I can fake that. Do you fake sincerity? You see, withholding the truth is lying. Listen to what Moses said in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. If anyone sins in that he hears a public adjuration, that means an urge or a request, to testify, and though he's a witness, whether he has seen or come to know the matter, yet does not speak, he shall bear his iniquity. You see, the sin of silence is also just as real as the sin of speech. There's another way we lie. We rationalize our lies. Everyone's doing it. It won't hurt anything. Nobody will ever know. So we just assume, you know, it's just a little white lie. Do lies come in colors? In a Peanuts cartoon back in August of 1997, Charlie Brown says to Linus, we're supposed to ride home to our parents and tell them what great time we're having here at the camp. Linus answers, Charlie Brown, even if we're not, isn't that a lie? Charlie Brown says, well, it's sort of a white lie. And Linus says, lies come in colors? I ask you and me a question this morning. Do lies come in colors? Do we lie when the truth would be better? Secondly, this morning, we see what lies are. Why do people lie this morning? Now, I'm sure that many of you are saying, oh, preacher, hurry up and shut up. Get me out of here. I don't want to hear any more about this lying stuff. Well, why do people lie? why are lies of deceit so common amongst us today? Maybe you remember this morning that the first sin that was ever recorded in the Bible is found in the book of Genesis chapter 3, and it was a lie. It's a lie that's the first sin. We read that the crafty serpent, young people, he asked Eve if she was allowed to eat from any tree in the garden. And when Eve answered to the crafty serpent in verse 4 of chapter 3 of Genesis, he lied. He says, "You will not surely die." So Eve ate of the apple and Adam ate, and eventually they both died, as we will unless we're alive and privileged to see Jesus' return. So the first sin in all of the Bible is a lie. And it's really interesting when you come to Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, the very last book of the Bible, the last sinners named in the Bible are also liars. Look at what Jesus said to John: "Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." The psalmist said in the 58th Psalm, verse 3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies." So this morning, why do we lie? Why do we lie? Let me tell you some reasons. Number one, we lie to compensate for our own human failures. You see, we have some sense of the way things should be of life and as God intended it, but we know that we're not living this way and that we've sinned, we've fallen, and we failed, and so we begin to compensate. We create this false self, this idolized self, the person we wish we were, and we spend the rest of our lives trying to be that person that we're not and trying to be something that we wish we were. So we deceive ourselves and we deceive other people. If you will remember, Cain lied to cover up his murder when he murdered his brother Abel there in the Old Testament. David lied about Bathsheba when he covered up his adulterous sin, or so he thought. And any sin that David could commit or that Cain could commit, did you realize that you and I also are human enough, frail enough, that we could commit some of those same sins? And so David, Cain, they compensated for their own failures, and you and I can try to compensate for ours as well. Well, people lie to compensate for their own human failures, but secondly, people lie to hurt those who hurt us. You see, if someone lies to us, we lie to them. Those who hurt us, we hurt them. We lie to get revenge. We repeat half-truths. We repeat rumors. We repeat gossip and slander to hurt people. We think that we have that right because they hurt us. After all, they did it to us, right? Saul was convinced that David was a threat to him, and so he became a threat to David. Saul lied about David to Saul's son Jonathan. He lied to the family. He lied to the nation. Putin is lying this morning, not only to the Russian people, but he's lied to the entire world this morning. Lies are alive. They're prolific. They're out there. A third way we lie: we lie oftentimes to get ahead. We lie to get the account, to close the deal, to impress the girl or to impress the boy. We lie to please our parents, to further our own agendas. Parents, I would ask you a question. Do you lie when you send a note back to the school stating, "My child was sick and that's the reason they were out yesterday," when they really weren't sick? Just asking. Let me tell you, if we lie to get ahead. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, they lied. They sold some property And it wasn't the idea that they sold the property that was wrong. It wasn't the idea that it would have been wrong if they wanted to retain some of the money. But the problem was Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Spirit about it. And it cost them their life. We lie because we're tempted by Satan himself. Jesus called Satan the father of lies in John 8:44. He helps us along. Satan encourages us to be less than honest with God, with others, and ourselves. And so, what is a lie anyway? Why do people lie? That brings me to a third point this morning. Why is lying wrong? Why is lying wrong? If we all lie daily and people did it throughout the Bible, why is it wrong? Let me give you some facts. Number one, God said it's wrong. God said it's wrong. The 101st Psalm, verse 7, no one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. You see, young people, God takes lying serious. Now, we talk about little white lies and little half-truths and all of these kinds of things, and I can assure you that probably every one of us in this room today and probably everyone that's listening to this broadcast this morning has at some time or other or will at some point or other lie. Why is it wrong? God says it's wrong. Look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25. Paul was writing to a bunch of Christians there at Ephesus. He said, having put away falsehood, that's speaking of lies there, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. God says, don't lie. God says, lying is wrong. A second reason why lying is wrong is because lying offends the character of Almighty God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 4, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. Lying runs counter to the nature and the character and the integrity and the righteousness and the holiness of Almighty God. Listen to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. There are six things that the Lord hates. Here we go. Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes. That's speaking of pride. False pride. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies and who sows discord among the brothers. You see, that's what God says about lying. God hates lying. God knows what lying does, not only to the one doing the perpetration, but to the one being perpetrated against. There's a third reason why lying is wrong. It's because lying sacrifices trust. Do you recall the last time you lied to someone? It may have been this morning. It may be right now. It may have been in Sunday school. Do you recall the last time someone lied to you? Maybe a politician. Maybe a leader. Maybe a personal relationship. Do you trust lying people? Think about that this morning. A fourth thing that lying tells us why it's wrong is because lying destroys people. Once you tell a lie about someone, you can never take it back. Oh, you might ask forgiveness if you can drop pride enough to do that. I've read the story, and I'm sure many of you have heard the story of the rabbi. One day he was visiting with a man who had come by, and this man had gossiped. He had slandered not only the rabbi, but he had slandered other people as well. So this man felt the weight of the guilt that just dogged him every single day, and he went to the rabbi, and he apologized to the rabbi, and then he said, "What can I do to make things right?" And the rabbi gave him a bag that was filled with feathers, told him to go up to the top of the hill, and would he just throw the feathers out? And of course, the wind came and swept them all away. He went back to the rabbi, and he said, "Well, I did what you asked me to do. Now, what am I supposed to do?" The rabbi said, "Now go pick up every feather." He said, "Well, that's impossible. The winds carried them all away." The rabbi said, "The same is true about the damage that you've created with lying and with hurtful things that you've gossiped about others. The damage is done. You can ask forgiveness. You can be forgiven. But will someone ever trust you again?" Think of all the lies that are told in marital relationships where husbands lie to wives, wives lie to husbands. Children see these things, and kids are just creatures of imitation. Kids mimic, they mock what they see and what they do. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19 says in the New American Standard Version of the Bible, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a gossip." James chapter 1, verse 26 in the New King James Translation says, "If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." James chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. In the New King James, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison." And the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 in the New King James, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Let me give you another reason why lying is wrong. In short, lies destroy. Never underestimate the power and the damage that lies can do. In fact, history tells us. Guess who spoke these words? And I quote, "The broad masses of a nation more readily fall victims to the big lie than the small lie. People will believe a big lie sooner than a little one, and if you repeat it frequently enough, people will sooner or later believe it." Guess who said that? Adolf Hitler, who exterminated 6 million Jews. Lies destroy. How can you and I keep the 9th commandment in the world that we live in today? How can you and I try our best, govern ourselves as best, embrace as best we can the 9th commandment? Let me give you just a few things in closing. How do we deal with lies in our lives and in our culture? First of all, confront the lie as soon as possible. Don't let that malignancy, don't let that poison begin to grow. Deal with the issue in your life. If you see deceit in the words that you speak or the thoughts that you think or your actions, go to God immediately. Confess it to Him. Deal with these issues with your children. Confess those sins to those you've hurt. You say, "Oh, Pastor, that's too hurtful for me." Yes, but let me tell you, when you do it, it won't make it so hard the next time. Secondly, don't listen to the lies that other people speak. Don't listen to lies that other people speak. Did you realize that if all of us who profess to be Christians and truly, truly not only profess it but possess Christianity, You see, the word Christian means little Christ. We are to be little Christ in the world that you and I live in. Let me tell you, if we would choose, and it is a choice, to listen to gossip, to listen to lies, if we would choose, even among our closest of friends, to say, look, I don't want to get into the field of negativity. Please don't share that with me because I do not want to hear that. Now, why would most of us not say that to our friends? Afraid our friends will forsake us? Afraid we'll lose friendships? You see, if you really want to please God, the way to do that, to keep this ninth commandment, is to not listen to the lies that other people speak. And in the day and time that you and I live in, how do you know what truth is? How do you determine truth? I mean, apart from absolute truth, I believe the Bible is absolute truth. I believe it's the inspired Word of God. I believe it's the inerrant Word of God. I believe that it's the Holy Spirit breathed Word of Almighty God. Apart from the Bible, I think anymore everything you and I hear, for the most part, we have to try to determine what's truth, what's error, what are lies. Let me tell you, know that if someone will lie about me to you, they will probably lie about you to me. Be the one who stops the cycle of lies and the rumors and the gossip. A third thing you and I can do to keep this ninth commandment, live with consistent conduct and integrity. Be the same person when you speak to someone as when you talk about them. Be the same in private as you are in public. Be one person always. Will Rogers is attributed to having said this, "So live your life so that you wouldn't be ashamed if you sold the family parrot to the town gossip." Somebody else said, "Live your life in such a way that when the preacher stands to eulogize your funeral, he won't have to lie." Hello, are y'all with me this morning? Jeez, I've stood many a time and cringed on some things I've said and go, oh, I hope these are true. I hope this is true. Especially when someone confronts you out there at the cemetery and says, "Hey, you said, did you? Y'all ever been there? I have." What's another way to keep the ninth commandment? Stay close to God. Stay close to God. Let me tell you, the closer you and I are to allowing the Holy Spirit, who lives within our lives if we know Jesus in a personal way, is to allow the Holy Spirit to control everything we do and everything we say. You and I live in a world today where everything is questioned at every turn of the road. Lots of people that hopefully are well-meaning, professing Christians oftentimes do things that we read about, we hear about, and it really scars the name of Jesus. I want to challenge, first of all, me, myself, I want to challenge you this morning. As Proverbs 30, verse 8 says in the English Standard Version, "Remove far from me falsehood and lying." The next time you start to sugarcoat something, the next time you start to tell a little white, green, red, yellow, pink, blue, chartreuse, whatever that is, lie, think about, would Jesus be honored? Would Jesus be proud? Would others see Jesus in me? Would you stand as we pray together this morning?